How, well, let's go to Psalms. What is the most well-known psalm in the book of Psalms? 23rd. Are you sure? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is probably the most well-known, probably some of the most quoted scriptures in the whole Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. That's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about the great shepherd. And we're born into a very corrupt, depraved world. We have a depraved nature. And we have two powers working, one calling toward heaven and the other toward hell. With such great odds stacked against us, we need much help to make the right choices in life. With so many spirits in the world today, we'd be in grave danger without a higher power to help and to protect us. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, saints, this was written by what? A shepherd. And he's got to thinking, considering, and weighing. And I don't know just what brought all this into David's mind, but he got to considering what he was. Then he got to considering somebody of a higher power, the great God of heaven. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, David was a good shepherd. He slew the lion and the bear. He took care of the flock. It set him in place to take care of the great Philistine. He was a man that done great things. He conquered. He worked. He killed by the thousands. He done great things, David did. But the bottom line is, he looked up one day and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd," with a great awe. And then John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And again, with great awe. Behold, saints, tonight, the great God, the great Lord of Lords, wants to be your and I shepherd tonight. He wants to shepherd us. He wants to work with us. He wants to bless us. He wants to use us. He wants to lead us, guide us, establish us. He wants to do things for you and I. But you and I have got to let him do that. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, tonight, thank the Lord for the great shepherd. Thank the Lord tonight for the great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. Now then, with him, how many of you has ever seen a shepherd and his sheep? And I'm not talking about two or three sheep. I'm talking about hundreds. With the wagons, with the dogs, with everything, with the mules, or what do they pull the wagons with? I've seen them cross the roads in Wyoming by numbers, and just shuts all the traffic down. And he's taking them from point A to point B, and taking them and working with them, making better pasture, so to speak, or taking them to better pasture. He wants to do that. Listen today, this shepherd, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What all does that cover today? That covers everything. That covers not only you and I spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, every way that is out there. You and I said, "I shall not want." In other words, we've got somebody that can give us anything we need. The Lord is my shepherd. He's yours individually. It's not that he's not only the shepherd of the whole church of God, but the bottom line is he's your shepherd individually tonight. Yours, personal, one that gets down and works talks with you, talks to you, pleads with you, encourages you, inspires you, challenges you, blesses you, and helps you in so many ways. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do you have any wants tonight? Let's get it a little different. Let's say, do you have any needs tonight? What is your needs? Every one of us in here has got needs tonight. We've all got it. Spiritually. Some's got physically. Some's got emotionally. The Lord said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I can take care of your needs tonight. I can take care of your wants tonight. In Psalms 104 here, it brings up a point that I want to bring out and get back to 104. 104:24. He said, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. The earth is full. Now then, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the oil wells in Texas, Oklahoma, and everywhere else. He owns everything. He's got all the banks. He owns all the homes. He owns all the mansions. He owns all the jets. He owns all the trains and planes and cars and trucks. He owns every business in the world, so to speak. What do you need tonight? What are you interested in? Where is your situation? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's another scripture in Philippians 4:19 brings up a point here. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But my God, our God tonight shall supply. So what is your need tonight? Where are you at? What's your situation? Heart, soul, mind, and body. The Lord gave me a message I preached in Myrtle of the great healer. Never preached one like it. The great healer. Listen, this shepherd is everything. I shall not want tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Are you allowing him to work with you tonight? Let's go to Isaiah 53:7. Isaiah 53:7. This is the speaking of the humility, the meekness of Christ. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Oh, tonight, Christ. Let's go back to Philippians now, 2:2-5. Philippians 2:5. Let's read here what it says here, the writer. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now then, our shepherd, he has what he has by full right. There had been people that had a lot of money and sons that were raised up in the business. And the children got to a place where they wanted to take over the business, and Dad said, here it is. And they marched right in like they owned the place, so to speak. And they did. And Jesus went to the bottom, and then he went back to the top. He went as low as he needed to go to make a plan that you and I could have of the glory whereby when he become our shepherd, he was able to do everything we needed him to do, and there was no way anybody could argue about it. David Rockefeller. The Rockefellers owned Chase Manhattan Bank. Chase Manhattan Bank is a quite a large, powerful bank in New York City. And when they started dividing and deciding what to do, David said, I want to be the head of that bank, Dad. That's what I want. All right, son, I'll give it to you. So what he did, David didn't just march right in and said, I'm boss, I own this place. David went all the way to the bottom, to the lowest position in the bank. And he started learning one position after another. And he climbed and he climbed and he climbed and he climbed and he climbed. And then when he stepped into the president's seat, he had all the knowledge from the ground up. He had great admiration. People had no problem listening to him. They worked with him. They admired him. They exalted him, so to speak, because he done it that way. He didn't come in and just start throwing his weight around. He learned the ins and the outs of the business as he come from the bottom to the top. Christ, he could have marched in and done anything he wanted to do. But he said, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. In other words, the bottom line is Jesus emptied himself. And he got down just as low as he needed to go to make the plan that he needed to make. So he emptied himself. And he said there, and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now then, what does it say here? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus. In other words, what he did set him in place, and the Father put him in that place, so to speak, and he gave him the power and the authority that at the name of Jesus every knee. Listen, you and I can do anything we want to do, so to speak, here. But when we step out there, we're in his territory then. It's his eternity then. It's his authority then. It's his power then. He said, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Well, I don't want to live for God. I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. The bottom line is you're going to deal with him one day, because at the end of every man's life is God. We're going to deal with him. We're going to talk to him. We're going to confess to him. We're going to bow to him. I don't bow to nobody. We'll be bowing, folks, because he started at the bottom and went all the way to the top. And because he did that, he can be your shepherd. Because he did that, he can do what needs to be done. John, the 10th chapter. John, the 10th chapter and the 11th verse. Some rich reading in here, but I just want this one right now. Said, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd, good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. All right, let's go to Hebrews 13 and 20. I love this one right here. Hebrews 13 and 20. Hebrews 13 and 20. But the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, I feel sorry for the people in the Las Vegas and all the surrounding areas that lost their loved ones. I feel sorry for those in California that's lost their homes by the number of 5,700 and those that have died. That's sad. It's painful. There's people that's great bereavement tonight that's lost loved ones and maybe lost their homes too. But tonight, what they have missed is the great shepherd. California is one of the most liberal states in this country. The area that's burning is wine country. Las Vegas is a city of sin. You give me a great trouble, you put this out there to the east and the west. But the bottom line is, I think all this happened because of the judgment of God. Because they've taken the one that's the greatest individual that they could have, and they've shoved him out. And they pushed him out. They don't want him in California. They don't want him in New York. They don't want him here and they don't want him there. And the bottom line is that great shepherd of the sheep is the one that has the power to protect them, to watch over them, and to help them. He holds the whole world in his hand. He controls everything in every place. He orders our steps, praise God. Great is the chief of vast power and excellence, supreme, illustrious as the great God, the great creator, beyond what is usual. Tonight, God is beyond what is usual tonight. Oh, tonight, he's the great shepherd, saints. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Thank the Lord tonight for the great shepherd. Is it your shepherd tonight? He wants to work with you. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you, lead you, guide you, save you, redeem you, heal you, encourage you, comfort you. He wants to do what nobody else can do. All right, let's go to 1 Peter 2 and 25. 1 Peter 2 and 25. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned in the shepherd and bishop of your souls. How long did it take, Lord, to get you in? What age was you when he started going after you, calling you, working with you? The shepherd started after us because he loved us. The shepherd started after us because we were a long way in the wrong area, going the wrong direction. We were going to a devil's hell. And he, a sheep going astray, but are now returned. He went out there and he began to walk, talk, convict, work with. And we returned. Are you glad you returned tonight? Unto the shepherd and bishop. What does the word bishop here means? And that this literally signifies an overseer, an inspector, one that is oversight. It conveyed to us no meaning of the original, but Jesus Christ is the overseer of souls. He has them continually under his eye. He knows their wants, wishes, dangers, and provides for them. As their shepherd, he leads them to the best pasture, defends them from their enemy, guides them by his eye. Jesus is the good shepherd that laid down his life for his sheep. All human souls are inexpressibly dear to him, and they are the purchase of his blood. He is still supreme bishop or overseer of his church. Oh, tonight the Lord is the bishop of you and I. He's that shepherd. He's that bishop. Oh, tonight let us let him work with us. Let us let him help us. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's go to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34 and 9. Ezekiel 34 and 9. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. Cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, and so will I sheep, suck, if I could read, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and the dark day. And I'll bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, will bring them to their own land. Feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in the inhabited places of the country. I'll feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There they shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I'll feed my flock, and I'll cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. And I will bring again... Well, we'll stop there. Now, he said here, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is talking of the Lord bringing the people back from Babylon and all the places that they got scattered out there. In the early days of this Reformation and a long time afterward, it was, come out of ye, come out of her, my people. Come out. A lot of people among the saints were come outers. They come out. And they took their stand for the truth. And they was exactly what God wanted them to be. Because he went in and he sought after them. Called after them, worked after them. Brother Darius Gibson was a man that went in and done things that other ministers didn't have the gift to do. Went into the areas and give the testimonies and preach the messages and so forth, that begin to deal and work and begin to get a hold of their attention. Brother Salmon said one time, he said, I thought I found a new work or a new place, and said, come to find out. So Brother Rice had already been there maybe several years before. He was going out. He was going in the highways and the hedges. He was going in the back places. He was going where those sheep were. Tonight, thank the Lord for everyone that he found, that responded, and that come out. He said, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. Where's another scripture that talks about the high mountains, so to speak? Isaiah, the second chapter, said the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations. Oh, tonight he wants to bring them to the mountain's top experience. He wants to bring them to a good pasture. He once said, there they shall lie in a good fold. In a fat pasture shall they be fed upon the mountains of Israel. Listen, one man told me, he said, I've been in 50 congregations in this town. He said, none of them has what the Church of God has. None of them has the power and the anointing. Said, it's not there, Brother Carl. It's not there. Oh, tonight, listen, where the power is, where the anointing is, where the blessing is right there where the Lord puts his people in the visible body of the Church of God. Calls them out. Puts them in a place. What's another place? Said, I am the door. By me, if any man shall be saved, he should go in and out and find pasture. Go into a place, not just any place, but a good place where the food is, a good place where the God. Listen, it's so amazing, is it not, when a minister brings out a message and brings it forth, that everybody in there can get something. How can that happen? It's God. It's God. One can get a steak. One can get conviction. One can get this blessing and that blessing and so forth. All because God is the one that does the feeding. God is the one that does the leadings and the workings. Oh, today, are we not thankful for what we have? The shepherd give us what we got. We have what we have because of the great shepherd. He brought us back, or he saved us in, however you want to say it, but we're where we're at because of the shepherd. I'll feed my flock and I'll cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. For sheep to lie down, there must be four requirements met. They're timid, so they must be free from all fear. Jesus' presence makes us calm. Because of the social behavior within a flock, sheep will not lie down unless they're free from friction, with others of their own kind. Everybody must be content. If tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. They must be free of these pests to relax. Lastly, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. They must be free from hunger. Oh, tonight the Lord has the best food that you and I can ever have. He has the best blessings that we can ever get. He has the best glory that we can have anywhere, praise God. He said he'll make us to set what? In heavenly places. Not just any place, but heavenly places. And why is it heavenly? Because of his presence. Because of his working. Not us. It's not you and I. It's him. It's his presence. It's his anointing. It's his power. It's him working and helping you and I to do what we do, praise God. Oh, today. Isaiah 40, 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So he said he'll feed his flock like a shepherd. Now, on down in that psalm, it brings out the point, thou preparest the table before me. What's he talking about there? I got this out of the book, the 23rd Psalm. A shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm. In thinking about this statement, it is well to bear in mind that the sheep are approaching the high mountain country of the summer ranges. These are known as uplands and tablelands. So much sought after by sheepmen. In some of the finest sheep country of the world, especially in the western United States and southern Europe, the high plateau of the sheep ranges are always referred to as mesas, the Spanish word for tables. Oddly enough, the Kiswisha Africa word for a table is also mesa. Presumably, this had its origin with the first Portuguese explorers to touch the East African coast. In fact, the use of this word is not uncommon in referring to the high, flat-top plateaus of the continent. The classic example, of course, is Table Mountain near Cape Town, which is world-renowned. So it may be seen that David referred to as a table was actually an entire high summer range. Though these mesas may have been remote and hard to reach, the energetic and aggressive sheep owner takes the time and trouble to ready them for the arrival of his flocks. Now they go to a lot of work. They go through and they make a check, see if there's any poisonous weeds, and he starts planning his plan for the grazing program to avoid them or to take drastic steps to eradicate them. He may make a second trip through these areas, again, to prepare these areas for his sheep. Listen, folks, tonight, Jesus don't just feed us haphazardly. He sets things in order. He spends hours getting the messenger prepared for you and I. He gives us the very best. He wants the devil backed off. He wants the anointing and the power there. And so consequently, he gives us the very best that he can. When he sends us out there, he prepares everything for you and I, which is far better than anything in the world. So he wants us to lie down. He wants us to rest. He wants us to relax. Let's go to Ezekiel 37. And 24. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. They shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Ezekiel 36. Start reading 22. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen whither you went. And I'll sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all countries, will bring you to your own land. Here it is again. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness, from all your idols, will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you. Now this links back into what I read in 37th chapter. Now I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and shall keep my judgments and do them. You shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers. You shall be my people and I'll be your God. The Lord, he said here in 37, he said they shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. People of the world sit back and look at us, watch us, consider us, and think, how do you do what you do? My former partner and boss told me one time, said, if I lived the life you lived, I'd have to get out in the middle of 800 acres all by myself. Get away from everybody. I thought, well, the one that you causing all the problem, Danny, is the devil, and he's going to be right there. You might get away from everybody else, but you ain't going to get away from him. He's going to walk right out there and say, boo, how are you? So the Lord said, I'm going to, they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And then he said, how are we going to do that? I am going to put my spirit within them. I am going to give them what they need, the power, the authority, the glory, the blessings. I'm going to save them. I'm going to put a new heart in them, heart of flesh. Put my spirit within you. Listen, folks, we can live for God. We can do what he wants us to do, but we got to have Jesus to do it. We've got to have the shepherd to do it. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you should keep my judgments and do them. All right, let's finish up in 1 Peter 5:4. 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. When the chief shepherd shall appear, we're going to get something. We're going to get heaven. We're going to get everything that he wants us to have up there in that place called glory when the chief shepherd shall appear. Now this is talking to ministers in a sense, but I think it also appeals to all of us. You shall receive a crown of glory. Something that fadeth not away. Listen, folks, today there's a lot of athletes that's got gold and silver and bronze and all these medals. Some of them have made millions and millions and millions of dollars. But folks, that's going to fade one of these days. It's all going to be nothing when they get to the end of the way. It'll not buy them heaven. It will not buy them spiritual blessings. It will not buy them a mansion on the other side. You and I can have everything this shepherd wants us to have. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.